Hallelujah. You got your Bibles? Let's get a word from the Lord this morning. I believe God's given me a word that will strengthen you, encourage you, and empower you. Is that all right? It is entitled, The God of the Night Before. The Night Before Christmas. Amen. You got your Bibles? Turned with me to Matthew, the first chapter. Again, we're delighted that you're here. We know God is doing something very special this Christmas season. And if you have not realized it yet, you will. If it hasn't got to your house yet, it will. I said, if it hadn't got to you yet, it will. Hallelujah. Somebody track with me. I'm telling you, it's coming to your house. Ah, glory to God. This is a different Christmas this year. Whether you've sensed anything different or not, there is a great emphasis on Jesus and the great God that he is, the great provider that he is, the great comforter that he is. And he's coming to each one this Christmas, not only here in America, but around the world. There is such great need in our world today. And he is revealing himself. People are coming to the recognition that he is the gift. I said he is the gift that keeps on giving. Hallelujah. If you got that gift, you got Christmas. Woo! Look at somebody next to you and say, if you got that gift, you got Christmas. Yes, you do. Amen. Amen. We're going to go to just a few scriptures here, if you would, with me. We're in Matthew, the first chapter. First, and we're going to go to Luke, the first chapter. So if you want to just try to get that, and if you only got so many fingers and you can't do all that, grab your neighbor's hand and have him put their finger in that place, and then you can... Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. All right. All right. Would you stand with me for the reading of God's word as we honor the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? Amen. When I said that God has given me a word that will strengthen you and encourage you and empower you, I really believe that is an understatement. Amen. And I believe as we proceed this morning, the glory of God is going to come upon you. Even as it came on Mary, are you hearing me? It's going to be shining round about you, and God is going to be doing something that is totally, totally without human hands, totally independent of anything I can do or say. Amen. God is God, and he lets me do this. He anoints us, and he calls those to minister, but he is the minister. He is the one. It's his glory. It's his church. Hallelujah. And you are his people. Oh, I feel that. You don't belong to me, you belong to him. And I value that, and I cherish that, and I respect that. Amen. And I value you because you are very valuable. Amen. Hallelujah. Matthew, the first chapter, the God of the night before. We're starting here at verse 18. Just reading a few verses. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, that's before they had sex, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But when he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Somebody shout Holy Ghost. Yeah. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name, what? Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. And Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not. Did not have sex with her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name. What did he call his name? Jesus. Amen. Say it again. It's at that name that every knee bows. At that name every devil bows. Woo! How everything under heaven, in heaven, under earth, in earth. Would you turn just quickly with me to Luke, the first chapter? There's a couple of things I want you to see there as we proceed this morning. We see Joseph here and his situation. How many know that was a situation? That was beyond a situation. Yeah. When your girlfriend tells you that she's going to have a baby and God gave it to her, that's a situation. Yeah. We have one. Yes. Yes. Luke, the first chapter. The 26th verse. Hallelujah. Luke. How many got it? I'm getting there. Luke, the first chapter, 26th verse. It begins like this. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. And then Mary said unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, the cousin of Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month for her who is called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. Amen. Amen. You can give the Lord a praise there. I'll tell you, if a virgin can conceive, nothing shall be impossible for wherever, whatever need. Last verse, and Mary said, Mary's got something to say. She says, Behold, the handmaiden of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. What a response from a beautiful teenager. Amen. She was a teenager at that time. No, she was probably not more than probably 16 to 18 years old if she was that. Amen. Probably somewhere in there. All right, one more place if you would. Turn to chapter 2 of Luke, just over a page. Ask somebody next to you, do you think he's going to read the whole Bible this morning? Second chapter, first verse. Just 7 verses. The story goes on here, but that's all we need to go where we're going this morning. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. My God, there is the Christmas story in 3 accounts that we want to look at this morning. Amen. And I trust God will make it a blessing to you and that you will receive something for your night before Christmas. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word today. Your word is eternal. Your word is life. Your word is you. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. You were the Word before you came as Jesus. We thank you for Jesus, the one who has taken away the sins of the world. We thank you that you were the Word before you became Jesus. We thank you. You are the Prince of Peace and the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. We thank you, Emmanuel, for being with us. Thank you for being with each one this morning. May they feel your presence, sense your nearness to them. In whatever situation, wherever they may be, may they sense your comfort, your arms, may they sense your presence. I pray this day, this morning, this hour, in Jesus' name I pray. And everyone said, Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Hallelujah. If everywhere you had to go, you had to travel by foot, imagine how much further and how much longer it would take for you to get a simple distance away from Lancaster. Imagine what it would take to get you to Los Angeles or to the San Fernando Valley or even to San Francisco. If you had to travel by foot, it might be a trip you might make once in your life. If you had to walk to L.A., you wouldn't probably go twice a year or three times a year, maybe once, and how many know for many, probably not at all. Some don't walk anywhere. Well, we better not go there. Walking's good for you, amen. But if you had to walk, maybe. And imagine how many stops you'd have to make along the way. If you and your family got ready to go to L.A. and you traveled on a donkey. Lord, it gets worse, doesn't it? How long would it take you to get there? But you know, it's just not how far you would have to go to get there to your destination. It's the circumstances that you have to travel with. Somebody say circumstances. Yeah, sometimes you are very close to your destination, closer than you think. Tell somebody next to you, you're closer than you think to your destination. You're closer than you think. Closer than you imagine. Closer than you would have believed possible. And the enemy can't change the distance. It's as close as it is. And when you're close, he can't stop you from being close. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And the Holy Ghost will let you know when you're close. I said the Holy Spirit will let you know when you're close. You are near to your salvation than when you first believed, the Bible says. You are closer now than you've ever been in your life. Have you ever heard those words from God? Don't give up. Don't give out. Hold on. The blessing is close. I may have heard that till almost ad nauseum. We're going there this morning. Hallelujah. Some of you are saying, if somebody tells me that one more time, they better duck. Because you don't know, or maybe you do know, what they've been through. And I may know some people have heard it all. They've had enough hands laid on them. They've had enough oil to take care of one olive tree. But you're close. You're nearer to it. You're on the verge of it. You're on the edge. You're about to step into it. Will somebody believe what I believe God's Spirit is saying this morning? Let me say that again. You didn't get it. You're on the verge of it. You're close to it. You're about to step into it. I said you're about to step into it. Katabosha. I said you're about to step into it. Whew. And I know it's hard to believe for some because it's been a long time coming. And you thought you would have stepped into it a long time ago, but we're going to talk about that. God's working. But now is the time. Now is your time. Now is time for the world. Now is time for the church. Now it's time for this babe in Bethlehem to come as the conquering warrior, the conquering God, the mighty God, and the everlasting Prince of Peace. Amen. Let me say, though, that because you're about to step into it, it's not the distance. The enemy can't change the distance. He can't take the goal and move it back or the goalpost. Amen. Fact is, the Bible says, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching to those things which are before, we press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of God. It's marked. It is where it is. And the devil can't keep moving it back. But it does feel like that sometimes. Can we talk real feelings? The Bible says Jesus is touched with the feelings of our infirmities. It's close, but it seems like the closer we get, then it gets moved back on us. Have you been there? You thought it was there. You thought this was it. It feels like every time you're on the verge of finally getting your hands around the thing you believe God to do, that the devil says, no, I'm moving it back. Keep coming. But he can't move it back. I said he can't move it back. It really wasn't that far from Egypt to the promised land. Did you know that? took them 40 years, but it really wasn't that far. It should have taken them about 3 or 4 days to get there. And they ended up 40 years. Isn't it amazing how something that should have happened quick can take a long time? It's not like they kept moving the promised land. It was always there where it was supposed to be. Amen? The enemy couldn't change the destination. But oh, how he can work through those circumstances. I know you haven't had any circumstances. The circumstances whereby we travel is what causes our faith to be significant. It's not the distance. You're always close to your blessing. Okay. You're closer than when you first believed. I said you're always close to your blessing. Don't believe the devil lie says you're never going to get it. It's never going to be yours. It's not for you. There's something wrong with you. God doesn't like you. There's a flaw or something. No, that's a devil's lie. You're closer to your blessing than you first believed. Hallelujah. And so am I. Glory to God. Praise your Lord. It's amazing. And so the circumstances, they are significant. But then when you think about the things that happen along the way, I almost hate to think about them sometimes, don't you? The learning is not about the destination. I'm learning that. The destination is not that even in that important. The destination, how many know it's preset? It's precast. It's already set in place. It's predetermined by God. He says, "These shall be mine." You see the boy right there. He's drunk on a bar stool and he's got crack in his system. But he's going to be a deacon at Glad Tidings Church. You see, God's already set the end from the beginning. It's already determined. The destination is set. It is not about the destination. It's about the things that happen along the way. The problem with most people when they read the Bible is that they're reading from the other side of the story. We read about Jesus and Mary and Joseph 2,000 years later, amen? We know how the story ends. We know everything works out okay. But we don't know that about your story, except by faith. We also know that who he is to us. He's everything. But imagine if you were Joseph and you had found a beautiful young lady that you had been seeing for some time and announced to all of your friends that she's going to be your bride. And you had begun to set in place the things that were necessary to endow her, to give her a dowry, to honor her, and to recognize her. But before you could get to the wedding, she started picking up weight. I mean a lot of weight. I mean all in the middle weight. And so she says, "Joey, I've been meaning to tell you, I got some circumstances. Some circumstances have come up." You ever have circumstances come up? Maybe not this one, but circumstances. He says, "What do you mean, circumstances?" She says, "You're not going to believe it. I've been waiting for a good time to tell you. I've been wanting to tell you." She says, "I'm expecting." He says, "Expecting what?" "I'm expecting a baby." "But don't get this wrong." She says, "This is the Lord's doing." Joseph saying, "Yeah, right, I mean, you can see Joseph kind of walked away from her and said, I shook his head. He says, "Now I get to live with this. Everybody knows about it, too. Now I get to do this." Have you ever loved and been angry at the same time? Isn't that a feeling? The kind of feeling where you want to push somebody down the stairs, but then you love them so much you got to run down there and catch them, I know you all are Christians here and you don't feel like that. Amen. But to the real people, can I talk to some real people? Down there saying, and you're down saying there, don't hurt yourself. Don't hurt yourself. You didn't get hurt, did you? Here, let me pray for you. You better get away from me. Yeah, we got one of those situations. And so he says, Joe says, "Okay, I'm going to put you away privately." He says, I'm going to get you out of this privately. I'm going to get out of this privately. In the Bible, I don't know if you knew, but an engagement was like a marriage. It required a bill of divorcement to get out of it. And so he says, we're just going to go down and go to the lawyer and discreetly sign the papers and we'll get out of this. And then when he's getting ready to go down to sign the papers to put her away, and she's distraught because she's told him the truth and he doesn't believe her. And you know how it is when a woman tells the truth and you don't believe her. I told you, and you don't believe me. And the angel has to speak to Joseph. How many know sometimes the angel has to speak to us men? Oh, you didn't get that. Okay. How many have men that believed everything you said, ladies? I won't ask you how many have that didn't believe a word you said. But you need an angel, whoever you are. Just blink at me, and I know angels coming to your house. Amen. But thank God for angels. So an angel comes and tells him, fear not, that is in Mary is conceived by the Holy Ghost. And now he's really confused because now he's trying to believe something that common sense tells him just couldn't be possible. His faith and his reasoning are now in conflict. He's now told her that he is about to give her a bill of divorcement, and now God has said that she's telling the truth. Now you have to go back and tell somebody that you have already said, I don't believe you, that maybe you are right. Have you ever had to go back to somebody and tell them maybe you're right? Boy, that's humbling, isn't it? Are you feeling me, man? Whoo! I may know that sometimes people have a tendency to take attitude that they may not always be right, but they're never wrong. Yeah. If you're married to somebody like that, just blink. And I worked for a Marine drill sergeant like that many years ago. That was interesting. Amen. And I won't tell you about him. I'm glad that's over. And so he had to go back, and he had to, and on top of it, all this conflict that has gone on, she's so upset, she's gone over to her cousin's house, Elizabeth, who's been shut up for 5 or 6 months, who's pregnant too, which is basically, I'm going home to mother. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine what Joseph's friends must have been telling him? Man, you don't have to do this. Huh? He's conflicted. Can you imagine what it'd be like to be Mary and be telling somebody the truth and them not believe you? And now they're trying to go along with it, but they've already exposed the fact that they were going to get rid of you. How comfortable are you with a guy who's told you that he's getting ready to get rid of you? And here they are going down the road trying to deal with the issue. And now on top of all this, a new tax has come out. And in order to deal with the taxation, you have to go back to the city that the groom is from to pay the bill. And now we got a debt we weren't expecting. We got a baby we weren't looking for. We got a crisis that makes me look like a fool. And we got a kind of, and now we got to walk to Bethlehem. You know, it's one thing to have one thing going on. You know what I'm talking about. But now we got a whole bunch of things going on. And we thought we had problems. Kind of like that reality show. They got problems. Married at First Sight. Yeah, that one. The one that you want to act like you're not watching. Amen. Hallelujah. They're walking down there by foot now. He's walking with a pregnant woman in the heat of the Middle East. How many know this was not in December? He was not born in December, but don't get hung up on his birthday. Get hung up on the fact that we're celebrating that he was born. Some people get all hung up, well, he wasn't born that day. Oh, shut up. Amen. How do you know you were born the day they said you were born? How many know they just didn't say, well, I don't know when she was born, he was born, but he was born somewhere close to that. So, you know how I know it wasn't December? There's several ways, but there's one way because of the shepherds that were in the field keeping watch over their flocks. I used to, when I was a kid, I raised sheep, and I had sheep herders around me there in the alfalfa fields here on the east side. And I know that when wintertime, they bring the sheep down in springtime for them to have their babies, amen, to lamb, and to feed them what's left of the alfalfa, amen. And so this was most likely in the hot time, amen, of the desert there. It was not in the winter. And so in the Middle East, it can get real hot. No AC, no fan, no music, no boombox, no iPhone. How many know if you have an iPhone, you can go get through anything? Amen. People are oblivious to anything as long as they got that phone, by Scott. Hallelujah. No padded seats. She's pregnant on a donkey in the heat, traveling through the hot sands, inconveniences with somebody that you're at odds with on the night before Christmas. And all in the back of her mind, she's hearing God say, "Hail Mary, you've been highly favored of God amongst women." Say what? How many have had God say things about you and prophesy to you, and it sure doesn't match up with what your reality is? Come on. Highly favored? Would you call this a highly favored situation? I don't think so. She's already pregnant. It's already hot. She's about to go into labor. The relationship is not going good. She's pregnant by the Lord. And you're trying to deal with this and be respectable and trying to believe that God is somehow in the situation. Does anyone have a situation you're trying to believe God is in? Amen. Can we talk some real? You know God must be in this somewhere. I don't know where. I don't know how. I don't know what he's up to. But God has to be in here. Hello? Are you in there? Hello, God? Where are you? It always looks like that on the night before. It always looks like that on the night before. Don't miss that. Because we are in a night before hour. Ooh, God, give God a praise. We're in a night before hour. So it always looks like that. I didn't realize that. I mean, no, we think it's going to be peaches and cream and they lived happily ever after. That's in Disneyland. We love to go there because we can escape the reality. Let's talk about the fantasy. I like that better, don't you? He's got to be in there somewhere. Hello? God, where are you? Job said, "I looked for him on the right and he was not there. And I looked for him on the left." Have you ever looked for God in your situation? And you said, "God, where are you? This is the worst time in the world for me to be dealing with this mess. At this time, God, where are the promises? Where's the stuff pastor's been preaching about? Where is God making the impossible possible? Nothing too hard for God?" I may believe it. Sometime in your life, you might have something a little too hard for God. Be honest. Say, "I got one." I said, "I got one." Ezekiel seen a valley of dry bones. God showed him. And God said, "Ezekiel, you believe that they can live?" He said, he was honest. He said, "God, only you know. God only knows." Amen. God knows. And what did he tell him to do? He told him, prophesy to him. Woo. How many got some dry bones? Prophesy to those dry bones. And God began to put flesh on it. God begins to do something when you prophesy, when you begin to speak. Amen. It's impossible. Oh, God, did you know David warned us about this? The shepherd boy, the king, the shepherd king. He said, "Weeping may endure for a night. But I wish he'd told me how long the night can be." Huh? Lord have mercy. That's another thing I didn't picture right. I thought he was just talking to me about, 6 or 8 hours or something like that. The regular night. Amen. But that's not the kind of night he's talking about. How many know this is a long night? Somebody say long. A long night. This could be months long of a night. Kind of a night like in Alaska. Just night. I could never live in Alaska. Matter of fact, I was looking at another thing. There was a people who sat in darkness. There's a verse here, but if you're planning a Christmas trip to Tromsø, Norway, don't pack your sunglasses. Between November and January, the sun never rises there. This town, which sits on an island about the size of Manhattan, is the second most populated north of the Arctic Circle. Every fall, its 70,000 residents face the prospect of spending the winter in perpetual polar night. How many would find it difficult to live in a place where the sun never rises? I'm so glad for Matthew 4:16. Spirit of God says, the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light, and upon those who sat in the region and shadow of death, a light has dawned on them. And that light is Christ. Amen. I mean, you can be in a hospital for months. Night. The night can be so long you lose your car. You may have lost your house, your current credit rating. It can be a long night. It says, weeping may endure for a night. Matter of fact, I saw 1 Peter 5:10 this week, and the Lord seemed to draw my attention, and I was thinking about the New Year's Message, but he said he talks about after you have suffered a while, that God will strengthen and establish you and settle you. And I've never liked that verse because I don't like suffering. After you suffered a while, nobody told me about that. I didn't sign up for that. They told me everything was going to be peachy keen. That's an old term, tells you how old I am, amen. Everything was going to be beautiful. God would meet all your needs, and he does, but he has a way of working, amen. It can be a long night, amen. He's after you've suffered a while. Well, I thought, thank God, the Holy Spirit illuminates things. After you suffered a while, I thought, well, that's good. Who hasn't suffered a while? Is anybody here that hasn't suffered a while? Am I talking to anybody that hasn't suffered a while? No, we're talking to people, some have suffered a long time. Good God Almighty. So we got the after. I said, you got the after, girl. You suffered a while. You all suffered a while. After you suffered a while, God's going to stop, strengthen, settle you. Are you ready for the strengthening? Are you ready for the settling? Are you ready for the establishing? Things established that are not established. Things that are shaky, God's going to establish it. After you suffered a while. Well, he's talking about me. He's talking about you. And this goes with the word for New Year, but I got to save that because God's got some good things for us this New Year. I said, God's got some good things for us. Woo! I get so happy about it, I won't start preaching on it right away. I talked to you a little bit about it last week. You just have to come back if you want to know more. Amen. First Sunday in the New Year, we'll be talking about what God's saying. Can I tell you, just give you a snap preview I gave you last week? He told me three words. He said, victory, victory, victory. Somebody shout, victory, victory, victory. Woo! He said, this year has been a year of battle, but next year will be a year of victory. Good God. I told you we're closer than when we first believed. You're closer to it. I know it doesn't feel like it, but believe. The words that I speak to you, I believe they are from God. Amen. Your joy is on the way. There's more, but we got to save that. I can picture Joseph and Mary here and a donkey traveling down the road. She's half talking. He's half talking. And now they finally got to a place to stay, and the innkeeper's talking about, I sure would like to help you. I really would, but there's no room. But if you go down the road, maybe about an hour, there's another innkeeper there, and I know him, and he'll help you. And so he walks on down the road, and they say, well, you know, if you'd have got here sooner. You ever had somebody tell you if you'd have got here a little bit sooner? You just missed the sale. I'm real sorry. You just missed it. And after about three hotels rejected him, now he's got to go back to Mary and say, look, Mary, this is really tough, you know. His kind of shoulders a little drooping. He says, things don't look so good. I mean, it's the night before. And you know, you'd have thought the Lord would have come into the world in a very functional, happy, robust, loving relationship, wouldn't you? But no, the Lord picks a couple who's probably weren't even talking to each other, even speaking. You believe Christ can be born in a dysfunctional situation? Can Christ be born to a family that's backed up with payments to the IRS? Can he be born in a relationship where communication has withered? Can he be born in a situation where the bills are high? And can he be born in a situation where the provisions are not what you want them to be? I tell you, he handpicked those circumstances. He handpicked them. Let's talk about where he could have been born. He could have been born in a cathedral. He could have been born in a synagogue. He could have been born in a mansion. He could have been born to rich people. He could have been born with servants and maids. He could have had 10,000 angels take care of him. But no. He's born without a physician. He's born without a midwife. He's born without a bottle, without anything. He's born out there with nothing and nobody on a dirty, dusty road where either Joseph or Mary has to cut the umbilical cord and says, Jehovah Shammah. Jehovah Shammah means I'm here, I am there, I'm present, the ever-present one. And it says he was wrapped in swaddling clothes. I may know that was not an outfit from JCPenney's. What are swaddling clothes? They're milk rags. This is the King of Glory. This is the Word. This is the Creator of the universe. This is how what he is born into. How many are feeling better about your heritage? But he says, I'm not the kind of God who just shows up when things are going well. But I show up when all hell's breaking loose. And the circumstances are adverse. It seems like things are getting worse instead of better. And he says, I chose you in that situation. Me and Fred not getting along, that's why I chose you. Come on. My bills are backing up. That's why I chose you. I had to move back in with my mother. He said, that's why I chose you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. I show off when all hell is breaking loose in your life. I choose you because I'm not just a God of the morning. I'm a God of the night before. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm not just a God of the morning. I'm a God of the night before. You're about to know him as a God of the night before. I say we're about to know him as the God of the night before. Glory to God. I'm just not a God of victory. I'm the God of the battle that preceded it. Touch somebody and tell them, let the God of the night, he's the God of the night before. Just tell him he's the God of the night before. He's the God of the night before. Anybody will get you in the morning. Huh? Anybody will be there when things get right. Anybody will show up when you get the breakthrough. Anybody will be there when you get the car, when you get the house. But I need a God who will walk with me down a dirty, dusty road, lonely, frustrated, aggravating, and irritating. Amen. Hallelujah. I need him to go down that road with me. Amen. The problem with the night is when you're in the night, you can't see the morning. That's a problem. Weeping may endure for a night. It's almost over. I said it's almost over. Tell yourself it's almost over. Don't hype yourself. Don't try to convince yourself. I'm telling you by the authority of God's word, it's almost over. The night is almost over. Take it down. Take it back. I got the Holy Ghost all over me. I know it's hard for you to believe, but I'm telling you the night is almost over. And bless God, we're going to be there. You're going to be there by the grace of God. So am I. Because God is God. And a God who cannot lie. It's almost over. And I know that's hard for you to believe because of your long night. But I just wonder what God has in store for you this morning. Just wonder about that for a moment. What God has in store for you. For every one of you. He said, after you suffered a while, well, we've done that. We've been there, done that. And how many T-shirts you got? Huh? About ready to have a yard sale. You got a whole room full of them. Oh, boy. Yeah. She's got some for her. She'll give away back there. But I hear God saying, hold on. Hold on. Tell that someone next to you, hold on. Don't you give up now. I said, don't you give up now. You hold on now. You hold on now. We're almost there. It's closer than you believe. Oh, my God. If that isn't the truth, God, you just take me home. I mean that seriously. I feel this. I know this is God. I wouldn't hype you and I wouldn't put you on. If God wasn't saying it, I wouldn't say it. Amen. It's almost over. I know it's hard to believe. But what is God? I wonder what he has in store for you. Whew, I'd love to even think about it. I feel something coming. By faith, I see the dawn just ahead. I said, I feel something coming. I can't tell you. It didn't come from anybody here. It came from God. I feel something coming. I feel like we're almost there. I feel like breakthrough is here. I feel like God is going about to elevate the church. He's about to break through in your situation. He's about to show you that the night is over. Hallelujah, and joy. God's got joy coming for you in your morning. Did you think he was going to leave you in the night? Would you leave your child in the night? Would you drop your kid off and leave him in the night? No. No, 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 no. And he won't do that to you either, and he won't do that, I'm telling you. I know something's coming. And you see, while Joseph and Mary were knocking on hotels and looking for the blessing, I may know there were three wise men coming with gold, costly frankincense, and some costly ointments. Wow. Yeah. And they were looking for them. And I want to tell somebody who's been looking for your blessing, if you'll stand, just stand still, your blessing is looking for you. you'll just stand still, your blessing is looking for you. Hallelujah. The wise man's blessing was looking for Jesus. Oh, man. Whew, that's going to hit somebody even better this afternoon. Your blessing's looking for you. Eye hath not seen, the Bible says, ear hath not heard, but the Spirit hath revealed it. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Surely. Somebody doesn't have enough money for Christmas. Somebody doesn't have enough money for next month. Somebody doesn't have enough money for next week. But if you'll just look over your shoulder, goodness and mercy is following you. I said, goodness and mercy is following you. Glory to God. Goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Here, by the time they get settled in the inn, by the time they get settled in the Disneyland Hotel, the Carlton Ritz, no stable. Whoo. Don't tell me there ain't no night. Labor pains hit her. Travail breaks loose. And the baby was born. And she tells Joseph, oh, look at the baby. By the time you've gone through all that, I'm not sure what he was going through. Amen? But I'm sure he probably said, oh, yeah, he's so cute. Yeah. I may know they're talking again. Said they're talking again. Uh-huh. Doesn't look. I heard somebody say that bad doesn't look bad when good is in it. I may know there's some good in that bad. Yeah, I feel that. Somebody, that's for somebody. There's some good in your bad. There's some good in that bad. And I may know we all got some bad. Am I talking to real people or do I need to go down? There's some good in that bad. Hallelujah. And it was a little while before the wise men found them. I may know it's been a while since till the wise men are finding you. I may know they didn't come to the stable. It was about 2 years before they found him. It was a young child by that time, probably about 18 months to 2 years old. But I may know their blessing was looking for them. I may have been waiting at least 2 years for your blessing. I may have been waiting longer than 2 years for your blessing. It's not a matter of how long you've been waiting for it. It's just a blessing to know that your blessing is looking for you. It was a little while. I don't know who this is for, but it's prophetic. Your blessing has been looking for you all night long. I said your blessing has been looking for you all night long. And if you just be steadfast, unmovable, and always abounding in the work of the Lord. Did you get that? Hallelujah. You're not going to have to catch your blessing. Your blessing is going to catch you and overtake you and apprehend you. And I close, and as they moved on to their future with their gold, oh, hallelujah, say yes, Lord, as you move on to your future with your gold and with your frankincense and with your myrrh, hallelujah. Ooh, tell somebody I'm moving on. I'm moving on. Yeah. You see, God's got some gold. He's not impressed with gold. How many know the streets of glory are paved with gold? I saw Revelation this last week, just reading my devotion. The whole city is gold. Pure gold. The walls are jasper, but the whole city's gold. Pure gold. Somebody say, I want some. Amen. I want some. Well, you're going to get some. I said, you're going to get some. You don't think you're coming out of that trial, that tribulation, that night? Did the Israelites come out of Egypt with their stuff? Did they give them all their gold and their jewels and everything? Did God make it up to them for that, 400 years of slavery and bondage? Is God a God who will make it up to you? Yes, he is. Whatever I went through as a child, God has made it up to me. All the suffering, God came and made it up to me. Everything you've gone through, God will make it up to you. Hallelujah. Whatever you've been through, you hold on. God is going to make it up to you. Going to make it up to you. The devil doesn't get away with anything. Amen. You're not going to have to catch this blessing. This blessing is going to catch you. You almost probably could have heard them say, do you remember the night before Christmas? And we thought we weren't going to make it. Have you been there? You remember when we thought we weren't going to make it? We weren't going to be able to pay the rent. But look what the Lord has done. I'm losing my voice. Yeah. I always like to say that's my second puberty. Amen. You're laughing. My youth is renewed like the eagles, Psalms 103 says. That laugh was really not nice. That was not nice. Yes. That was not nice. Now I'm going to have to close the message because I can't hardly talk. Amen. I may know God has mercy on the congregation. He's a merciful God, is he not? Do you remember the night before Christmas when you thought you weren't going to make it? Maybe you're here this morning and you're thinking it's coming the night before and you're not sure you're going to make it in a circumstance, a situation. I like what David said. He said in Psalms 27:13, he said, I had fainted. I would have fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Whoa, man, I would have fainted. And how close we have come to fainting. Come on, how many know women are not the only ones that faint? It's kind of embarrassing when a man faints. Ooh, I've done weddings where that happened. Yeah, but that's because their legs, I guess, are supposed to be bent and they were straight. And all of a sudden, the guy just fell out and broke the pot right there. We had to stop the whole wedding. Yeah, it's kind of embarrassing. But I would have fainted. David said, I'm not embarrassed to tell you about it. I would have fainted unless I had believed to see the girls. Isn't that the song we sang this morning? What was that song, psalmist? I remain confident in this, that I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Now, while I'm still here, not when I'm dead, not in the sweet by and by, not when it's all over, now. God's a now God. Now faith is. Now God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound unto every good work, being enriched in everything unto all, somebody say all, bountifulness. My God, if just a part of that is true, we're blessed. Whew, God is able to do exceeding abundantly above and beyond. Living Bible says, I'm expecting the Lord to rescue me again so that once again I will see his goodness to me here in the land of the living. And so he concludes, says, wait on the Lord. Don't be impatient. Be of good courage. He will come and save you. Wait, I say, on the Lord, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Yes, wait, and he will help you. Don't get impatient. I know it's hard not to. Before we go, I want to let you know that God has a blessing in your life. It may be wrapped in misery. Remember Hannah. It may be surrounded by tragedy. Remember Job and Joseph. It may be interfered with by people. Remember Daniel and the three Hebrew children. But it does not destroy the integrity of what God has said. Hold on to the word today. It's holding on to you, and it's holding on for you. You hold on. When you can't hold on, it's holding on to you. Ooh. Oh, God, I'd almost fainted. Your blessing is looking for you. Your blessing will find you. You have a morning of joy waiting for you. 'Twas the night before Christmas. Hallelujah. You have a real Christmas coming. Ooh, not one that comes and goes. And all that's left is wrapping and the cleanup and a tree that is to be thrown out. But you have a Christmas coming like you cannot hardly believe. Eye hath not seen it, but the Spirit hath revealed it to us. Do we have enough of the Spirit for God to reveal to you what God has prepared for them that love him? How many love him in here? I'll bet we all love him in some way. God says, I prepared things for them that love me. All things are working together for good. That's hard to see sometimes. How could this be working together for good? God, this is killing me. Have you been there? Man. If it's not killing me, I'm going to kill you. No. Hallelujah. Jesus, I thank you for the blessing. I thank you for the word as we head towards Christmas. I thank you even more so that we have a Christmas individually, personally, because of the one who came, Jesus. Bethlehem came and died and rose again. Lord, I thank you for what you're doing. I pray the hearts of your people have been encouraged. It's not the destination. It's the traveling. It's going. I thank you for what you're doing. Blessing our coming in and blessing our going out. I thank you for that right now. More blessed than we've ever known before. He says, you're blessed coming in, you're blessed going out. You're above and not beneath, you're the head and not the tail. He says, the blessings will come after you and chase you for blessing and obeying the Lord your God. Father, we're doing that the best we know how. Thank you for your promise. Thank you for your word. Thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for what this Christmas means. We have a little more comprehension of the night before Christmas. We have all been in that night. We are in that night even now. But we thank you that joy is coming in the morning. We praise you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen, amen. Come on, let's stand the Lord, stand together, give the Lord a praise offering. Hallelujah. Dr. Culverson, come here. Come with me, will you? Praise God. Praise God. God spoke to my brother about 5 o'clock. He said this morning, we're just talking about just what God was speaking to him about the congregation, what's going on. Just give us a word as we close.
I'm ready to receive my blessing. Are you? Are you ready to receive your blessing, which our pastor has brought to us? Are you really ready? If you're ready, you can receive it now. If you're ready, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you can say the prayer right now. You can you can receive this blessing that God has for you. No matter how small the blessing, that blessing will grow into a dynamic glory. If you, our pastor has ministered to us this morning. He has said, receive, receive, receive. And this sermon is about receiving, receiving it. If you're ready to receive it right now, raise your hand. Raise your hand. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, we're going to say a sinner's prayer right now. Let us all, in the name of Jesus, we ask you, Father, forgive us of all of our sins. Forgive us of all of our iniquities. We ask you to be our personal Savior. Now in Jesus' name, we accept the blood of Jesus as our cleansing. We accept the healing. And we accept the blessings that God has given us now. And that our pastor has so beautifully has brought it to us. Now we receive in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Come on, somebody give the Lord a praise offering. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Going to release you with his blessing. I just felt like the Lord just said that there, you may just want to come down and just say, just by saying to my Lord, I receive this blessing today. I just want to make it clear to all the angels and all the principalities and powers, I receive this today. I need the blessing. It's been a long night. It's been a long night, and it's still, the dawn is coming, but I don't see it yet, but I believe today. If you would like prayer and you just want to come and signify, Lord, I just believe the blessing is for me. Slip out of your seat and meet me at the altar here. I believe I heard from God, but you just slip out of your seat if you just want to come and just say, Lord, I just want to signify, I'm believing God for my blessing. Amen. I'm believing God for my blessing. I'm believing God for my blessing. I'm believing God for my blessing. Father, I just want to seal this morning. I just want to come and I want to seal it. You may be sealing it where you're standing, that's good, but I just felt like God, I felt the Holy Spirit just said there's something that just need to come and signify and just say, God, I know that I heard what you said. That blessing is looking for me. Well, I'm believing that it will find me. How many will believe with me that it will find you? I said, how many will believe that with me it will find you? It will find me. It's looking for you. Some of you, I'm not sure that because of so much that's gone on in your life that you can even hardly even speak the words. But I speak them for you. I believe for you and with you that what you've been through and what you've been going through, your blessing is at the door. You're on the verge of it. Lord, I praise you for it right now. Thank you for these that have come just to signify. If you want to move up just a little bit, Vera, just move up just a little bit so others can get in. Father, I thank you. I praise you. We just have a few moments here. It's not quite 12 o'clock, but I didn't do it just because we have the time. I don't have to close because it's 12. I just felt like God said there was something about signifying, something about your faith stepping. Faith is an action. Faith is an act. Faith is believing that goes beyond the senses. Are you hearing me? Goes beyond what your faith is, something things hope for, the evidence of things not seen, the evidence of what I can't feel, what I can't see. It's beyond my senses. My faith, my spirit is engaging this morning. If I go by my feelings and my senses, I will say, this is impossible. I've been in the night too long. I'm not sure anything will ever change or can ever change. I believe for so long, and I've been disappointed for so long. God, I ask you to encourage that heart this morning. Father, I pray for people that have been in long nights, families that have been in long nights. Brother Culverson, come on and pray with me. Prayer team, if you're out there and you'd like to come pray, if you're not in the line. Father, I thank you right now for the congregation. We're just holding just for a second. Lord, this is a personal word always to us, a rhema. Yeah, special blessings. I just feel like the Lord is saying you've come for special blessing. It's yours. It's been looking for you. We release it by faith this morning. Go beyond our feelings, Lord. Go beyond, the hurt. Go beyond the disappointment. Go beyond everything, Father, that stands against us. In Jesus' name. Got a word? Good. Good. I felt the Holy Spirit wanted to close the service, so God has a word, and I felt like there was something in the congregation, too, and I'm not the only one God speak to, so we do everything in order, amen, and not to hold you beyond what is reasonable and what is right, but as long as God is moving, I want to move with him, amen, and I know we all do, amen. Was God speaking to you a word for somebody?
You know, as I was praying up here, the Lord is saying you got to renew your mind. You got to renew your mind. Jesus said that he came to bring us a weapon. That weapon is the word of God. And if you don't renew your mind, you will be defeated by this devil that is trying to kill, steal, and destroy. Renew your mind with the word of God. It means to brainwash your mind. Wash your mind with the word of God. So you will have a weapon. When you leave this church, you need a weapon at home, at work, on the streets. You need the weapon of God that God has given us. In the name of
a word from God right there. Right there. Somebody give God a gun. Give God a praise. Not to drag this out, but I just want to tell you that was so God, because I had something happen this week in the body. And it happened because we didn't know the word. Are you hearing me? And it was something that you would have thought common sense would have told you, but how many know common sense will not take place of the word of God? Your intellect, your wisdom will not take the place of the word of God. And all of us are smart, are brilliant. God has given us a wonderful computer, our mind. Nobody's dumb. Amen. But this happened because they didn't know the word. And it's a serious situation. It's serious because when you don't know the word, you can open doors to the devils. Are you hearing me? Opening doors to the devils. And even opening them for our children. And not even know we're opening them because we don't know the word. We haven't heard from God. Maybe all we hear is what the preacher says on Sunday morning. We need to get a personal with God. Oh, I need to hear daily what God is saying to me. I need to check in with the CEO of the company. What are the instructions for today? I need your GPS, God. I need to know what I'm to look for today. I need to know what I'm to watch for. I want any warnings you want to give me so that I don't open the door, because the enemy is a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour as a roaring lion. And the vulnerability that was caused, not that the devil will come in, but he could. He could have. And it's because of ignorance. Ignorance is not saying you're dumb. It says you don't know. And if you don't know, you can find out. We're all ignorant in some areas. But I'm finding out what I don't know. And I sure don't want people opened up in the congregation, because I'm not in the Word. And I'm just going on human wisdom and human understanding. And doing things that the world says is all right, but it's not all right with God. Amen. Because there are doors that open. Yes. And it's not because people are bad. They don't know. But how many know it's really bad when leaders don't know? That's serious. When I get a leader that doesn't know, that's serious. I will go to that leader and I will open up the Word and tell him, this is what the Word says. Now, don't have a pity party and don't get your feelings hurt. This is what the Word says, and if you knew the Word, you wouldn't have fallen into that. Come on. So that's a great word, sister. Get your mind renewed. Get in that Word. I know we're busy. The life is, I have to fight for it myself. Can you imagine the pastor has to fight for time in the morning to get before God? Anybody with me? Anybody know what I'm talking about? God bless you. I love you. God loves you. 'Twas the night before Christmas. Woo, Christmas is coming. Glory to God. I said, Christmas is coming. You got a Christmas coming. You may not have any money for Christmas, but God's got a Christmas for you. And we talked about that anyway this morning. God's a God. God is bringing things for you and blessing you. And you haven't seen nothing yet. You watch. You just keep walking with him. Keep seeking him first, and he'll add it all to you. Is that right, preacher? Is that right, doctor? He'll add it all to you? Seek God first. First. Okay, I got to let you go. I love you. You're going to have a great Christmas week. What are we, 2 weeks from Christmas? Next week is our Christmas program? Wow. God, that's good. Hallelujah. If you knew what God has planned for you and what you're on the verge of, I couldn't keep you in your seat. I'm telling you, God's honest truth, and I know hype. I'm telling you, what God's told me for the new year, that little thing about after you suffered a while, that's just part of it. We got the suffering done. Amen. But watch what God has prepared for y'all. I said, watch what God has prepared for y'all. Okay, y'all come now, huh? Y'all here? Hallelujah. Come on. How many want to stay the rest of the day? Looks like y'all want to stay. Okay. All right. Stand with me. Doesn't look like we're going to be able to get you out of here today, so it's okay. Say, Pastor, we're just being polite. Would you reach your hand for his blessing, just closing blessing? Father, you said to bless the people this way, and you would bless them. The Lord bless you. He bless your coming in, your going out. The Lord bless your business. Bless your life, your family, your children. Bless your future. The Lord bless you. And the Lord keep you. Keep you from harm. Keep you from evil. Keep your faith from failing. Hallelujah. Oh, God. Keep those that you love. Keep. The Lord bless you and keep you and make his face shine on you. May his face shine through any bit of darkness, that dark night. May the glow and the light of Christ shine through any dark place right now. Right now, in Jesus' name. The Lord said he would bless you if I'd pray it. Shine through. Shine, Jesus, shine. Shine in ways that will just bring joy to their hearts. Bring light, Father, where there's darkness. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you. The Lord be gracious. May his grace and his mercy just be with you all the time. And the Lord give you peace. The Lord give you peace. I speak peace. The greatest gift in this hour is peace. The greatest gift that this world will need and will need as we move towards the coming of the Lord is peace. With all the stuff going on, you will need peace and so will I. And I thank you for that peace. The Lord give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 God bless you. God love you. I love you. Thank you for coming. Have a great week. Amen.